Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour podcast. You can also subscribe and get early releases of our show at patreon.com/thechildrenshour. You know, the Children's Hour is not free to produce, and you could really help us out a lot by making a contribution today. We're a nonprofit organization, so all donations are tax deductible. Go to childrenshour.org and click donate. Thank you so much.
Where was the U.S. Constitution signed?
I don't know where.
At the bottom.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Byron Lee and the Dragonairs featuring Toots and the Maytals, Bam Bam, from a CD called From Bam Bam to Cheerio Baby. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm always so happy to be here with our crew. Hello, everyone on our crew.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's see who's with us.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hello, it's Zen.
Hello, it's Melissa.
Hello, it's Octavia.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Lucas.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hi, it's Corbett.
Well, everyone, today on the show, we're going to finish our series on the Bill of Rights.
Yeah! Woo-hoo!
All right.
Today on the show, we're going to go over the final three amendments that we haven't covered yet, which is the 8th, 9th, and 10th Amendment in the Constitution. And we're going to be joined by Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico. We're also going to hear from the kids in the Extinction Diaries. But before we get there, how is everybody doing?
We're doing good here.
Good.
As far as stuff happening, not a whole lot. Sitting on the couch recording Children's Hour, but besides that,
I'm still doing the Gene Udelson program online.
Cool. Anybody else doing like an online camp of any kind? Yeah. Oh, wow. Lots of hands. Octavia. Yeah. Tell us about yours.
It's a Girl Scout camp.
Illy, are you in that same camp?
Yes. It's 3 days long and it's called Rocks, Trees, and Me. And today we washed rocks and we have to figure out one rock that they gave us.
Like you have to figure out what kind of rock it is?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Daniel, yeah, you're doing an online camp.
I'm taking an online entrepreneur class.
Wow. Are you going to be a businessman?
Maybe. It's just helping me learn like about different entrepreneurs, like what they do. Pretty educational, pretty fun. I like it.
That is neat. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, Melissa.
So I'm taking an opera camp. This week we did a little experimentation of how to become a character, and then a little later on in the workshop we did a tutorial with a makeup artist for the New Mexico Opera Southwest. But that makeup artist over there at that theater came on Zoom and showed us a makeup tutorial on how to look like an old male or an old female for a character in a show.
Wow, that sounds so cool. Really interesting. Yeah, Lucas. Yeah.
I'm studying for the SATs because it's never too early to study.
Well, that is really impressive. How old are you?
11.
11. You have a ways to go before you take the SAT, but good job studying for it now. You're going to rock it. Yeah, Zen and Amadeus.
We are also a part of a book club.
We actually did a meeting right before the Children's Hour today. It was a lot of fun, you know? Get to talk about some different books.
Yeah, so we've been meeting on Zoom here, and it's been pretty fun.
Nice. Are you all ready to finish up studying the Bill of Rights?
Yeah!
These are your rights that we're covering. They belong to each one of us, and that's why it's so important to know your rights. We'll be talking more about that, and we've got the Extinction Diaries right here on the Children's Hour. Is Sandy Wilbur, and you can find a lot more sing-along songs at sandywilbur.com. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we're finishing off our fourth episode in the series on the Bill of Rights with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Micah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is the last one we're doing together, and today we hope to cover the 8th, 9th, and 10th Amendments, which completes the Bill of Rights. Micah, what is the 8th Amendment?
I'll start off just like we usually do by reading what the actual words say, and then we'll kind of pick it apart and see if we can figure out what it actually means. So, the 8th Amendment says, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel or unusual punishments inflicted. So does anybody have any ideas about maybe what that means?
It means you can't inflict cruel and unusual punishments, which was a bit subjected because people are having trouble agreeing with that. And I'm not sure what bailing means, and I also think the fines, like no ridiculously big fines.
So I think it means that it pretty much kind of like limits police brutality, because it means that you, if you're a police officer, you can't say you're speeding, so you have to go to jail for the rest of your life, or you have to pay $1 million or something like that. You can't abuse your power.
That's exactly right. In our current system, if you get arrested on suspicion of committing a crime, oftentimes you can get out by putting down a certain amount of money, paying the court a certain amount of money to help them feel more secure that you're not going to run off and try to escape to Mexico or something before it comes time for you to go into your trial. We talked about that in our early episode. We have a jury and a judge, and they decide whether that you're guilty or innocent. That bail means that you can pay some money so you don't have to sit in prison the whole time waiting for that trial. But you also, the court also has some kind of security in the form of holding onto your money to keep you from skipping town. So when they say excessive bail shall not be required, what they mean by that is the amount of money that you pay to get out of jail can't be so much that it's like impossible for anyone to get out. Because, you know, that doesn't really mean anything if every time the judge sets bail, nobody can pay it, so nobody can get out. Then the next part is no excessive fines imposed. Does everybody know what a fine is?
Anyone? Yeah, Zen.
I think a fine is like a punishment where you have to pay an amount of money.
That's pretty close. So usually to kind of create consequences for less serious crimes, like littering, for example, often it'll just be you'll have to pay a certain amount of money, sometimes just a small amount, sometimes a larger amount, depending on kind of how serious the crime is, you know, as a consequence for breaking that law. So that's what a fine is. So when they say no excessive fines, it's kind of the same idea about excessive bail. If you just throw a candy wrapper on the ground, that's not good, but there's a difference between maybe paying a $10 fine because you threw a candy wrapper on the ground or paying a $3,000 fine.
When they talk about excessive fines and excessive bail, do they take into consideration how much money you start with to begin with?
Yeah, that's something that we're kind of struggling with in general. Many people feel that bail is unfair just period. Doesn't matter how much you have to pay. Because if you think about it, for instance, you know, on a situation, if somebody is unhoused and unemployed, they don't have any money coming in, even something like a $10 fine might be something that they have absolutely no ability to pay. Does that mean that that's excessive? Some people would say yes. It's kind of hard to figure out how to make these things fair. The same thing with bail. If the bail is set really low, let's say, again, just like $10. But if you don't have $10 at all, that could feel excessive too. So there's a lot of questions that we're kind of asking ourselves about what does it mean for these things to be excessive? What does it mean for these things to be fair? We're kind of struggling to figure out how to make this system fair or figure out whether it can be fair at all.
The second part of that amendment is about cruel and unusual punishment. What are they talking about?
Well, let's take the first part of that. Cruel. What does cruel mean?
Bad or evil.
To be very hurtful to another or to be very horrible to them. Just to be, you know, without any empathy or to show no signs of remorse. You're being very cruel, you could say.
Yeah. So again, you know, there's kind of debate about what makes a punishment cruel, but kind of the word itself means that you're doing it to deliberately cause somebody suffering. Everybody considers torture to be a cruel punishment because its only real purpose is to make somebody suffer really bad. More and more these days, we consider capital punishment, which is, you know, like the death penalty, to be a cruel punishment. It's kind of like the ultimate punishment is taking somebody's life. So what about unusual? That's kind of a funny thing to say, like an unusual punishment. What do you think they meant by that?
Do they want you to like feed giraffes for a week? Is that like an unusual punishment? I don't know if it's cruel, but it's unusual.
That's kind of what's confusing about that word, because yeah, if your punishment was to feed giraffes for a week, I would find that very unusual. Even bizarre, but that's kind of not what they mean when they use unusual. They're using it in a kind of a different sense of the word, like it's not a usual sort of punishment. It doesn't fit the crime. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. So it's not something that is proportionate to the seriousness of the crime. It's maybe without any real thought process or reason for doing a punishment that's not fair, or a punishment that just isn't effective at punishing people. So all of these things could be considered like unusual punishments.
We're talking with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico about the Bill of Rights, and today we're covering the 8th, 9th, and 10th Amendments. The 8th Amendment preserves your right to not be punished cruelly or unusually or have fines or bails that are too excessive. We're going to come back and talk about the 9th and 10th Amendment right here on the Children's Hour.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality kids' public radio. Support provided by Electric Playhouse, an all-ages dining and interactive entertainment wonderland based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Experience gaming in a whole new way, transporting you to another reality. See for yourself at electricplayhouse.com. Support is also provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. COVID-19 isn't going to go away by magic. We all have to do our part. Wear your mask whenever you're out in public. Wash your hands a lot and keep social distancing. We know it's difficult, but we all have to work together to get the virus under control. Chumbawamba on the Children's Hour. We're talking about the Bill of Rights with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico. So many of the last amendments have been about facing the law and the limits of the law and the rights that we retain. We're winding down. We're on the 9th and 10th Amendments. Micah McCoy, let's dig right into the 9th Amendment.
The words of the 9th Amendment say, "The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people." Now, this is kind of a tough one to crack, but does anybody want to take a guess at what they might be saying?
I think what they mean is that if you're in the U.S. government and you're trying to use one of the other amendments to hurt someone or to try and, like, withhold one of their other rights, then that's a bad thing and you can't do it.
I think it means states cannot create laws against the Constitution.
Are we close, Micah?
We're not quite there. Remember how at the very beginning we talked about how there was these two different kind of teams trying to figure out what the Constitution would look like. One were the Federalists who wanted the strong central government. And then there was the Anti-Federalists who were worried about a strong central government becoming a bully, and they wanted to, you know, really protect the rights of individual states and the individual people within those states. One of the arguments that they made, that the Federalists were making against a Bill of Rights, is that they were worried that if you got too specific about like what were your rights and what weren't, that you might accidentally exclude other rights from being considered, which is kind of a hard concept to grasp. But if you think of, if the only rights were what you see in the Constitution, they're worried that it would close the door on ever anybody coming up with any new rights that we might need to make sure that we have. And so this amendment basically just kind of makes sure that that door is open. It says that if you don't see these certain rights in the Constitution now, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't have those rights. Does that make sense?
Can you give an example?
Let's say that, now this is a little bit silly, but maybe it helps you kind of understand. There's nowhere in the Bill of Rights that says you have the right to eat ice cream. The Fifth Amendment doesn't say, and all Americans shall have the right to eat ice cream whenever they want. But it's kind of generally accepted, right, that we get to eat ice cream if we want to. You know, sometimes our parents might not let us, but when we get to be grown-ups, we get to choose when we eat ice cream and when we don't. Even though it doesn't say that, you know, right there in the words in the Constitution. So this amendment, they're not talking about ice cream, but it's the kind of the same idea. Just because it isn't, you know, written specifically in the Constitution doesn't mean that that sort of right is excluded from your life.
So we have the right to eat ice cream. And we have all kinds of other rights. And as time has gone on, some of those rights have been more spelled out in the Constitution. So women to have the right to vote, people to have the right to not be enslaved.
Exactly. Remember, this Constitution has been always changing since the very first days that we came up with it. Over the years, we realized we made some really serious mistakes, like enslaving people. And so we had to create a whole new amendment saying that slavery is illegal in the United States. And, you know, another mistake we made was not allowing women to vote. So we had to create a new constitutional amendment to make sure that the women got the vote. This is a constitution that continues to change and probably will continue to change into the future.
The Ninth Amendment. Just because a right isn't specified in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights doesn't mean you don't have that right. We're going to talk about the Tenth Amendment right after this. This is Paul Perry right here on the Children's Hour.
I got rights. You got rights. We've all got rights. We've all got rights. Gotta have a home. Gotta be well fed. Have a place to learn and rest your head. We've all got rights. We've all got rights. Gotta have a say. Gotta raise a view. Have a place to play. Express a view. We've all got rights. Gotta know your name, get the doctor's cure, don't get pushed around anymore. We've all got rights. We've all got rights. If you're a refugee, get shipped abroad, you can join the club, not be ignored. Gotta know your mom, gotta
Paul Perry, You've All Got Rights, right here on the Children's Hour. We're talking with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico. We're covering the last of the amendments in the Bill of Rights. It's the fourth in our four-part series on the Bill of Rights. So we're at the very last amendment in the Bill of Rights, Amendment number 10. Micah McCoy, what is the 10th Amendment?
So the 10th Amendment says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. So this one is sort of similar to the 9th Amendment. Can you kind of figure out what it might mean?
It means that the state can create a right for the people in that state that is not included in the Constitution.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Basically, it says the powers not delegated to the United States, when that they mean like the federal government by the Constitution, or prohibited, not allowed, to the states, means it's fair game for the states or for us as individuals to make rules about. So remember how we talked about how states have their own constitutions and their own laws? This one says that as long as the state's laws don't conflict with what's written in the Constitution, if it doesn't conflict with the powers that are reserved for the federal government, then it's okay for the states to kind of tailor their own rules for their own communities.
Do you have an example of a law that this applies to that's in a state?
One example might be for here in New Mexico. In our state constitution, we actually created even stronger protections against discrimination in places like businesses and stuff. That it's a lot harder to discriminate against people because of, you know, the color of their skin or their religion or their age or, you know, any of the things that make people different. New Mexico decided to make their protections against that kind of unfair treatment even stronger than what's in the Bill of Rights. That's kind of an example of where New Mexico saw the U.S. Constitution is great, but I think we can go even further. And so there's lots of little examples like that where the states look at the Constitution and then look to this amendment and say, well, as long as we don't try to steal any of the powers from the federal government, or try to do something that's not prohibited by the Constitution, we have an opportunity to kind of figure out our own best system of laws and things of that nature.
The 10th Amendment allows states to create even greater freedoms for its citizens. We're talking about the Bill of Rights with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico. And we have one more question outstanding for you, Micah. The first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights, but there are actually 27 amendments to our Constitution. Aren't all of those our rights as well?
Yeah, so remember the first 10 were just like the ones that starting off that the Founding Fathers felt was really important to get put into the Constitution. And those happened kind of all at once. It was like a big package of 10 amendments. That came in all at basically the same time. And that's not how the rest of the amendments happened. You know, the rest of them kind of trickled in ones and twos over the next 200 years or so. The following amendments were kind of adapting to new problems that we found, like slavery. Slavery existed when we created the Constitution, but they made a really huge mistake by not addressing it and outlawing it in the Constitution. And it wasn't until after this we had a civil war that we passed the 13th Amendment, which completely abolishes slavery and involuntary servitude in the Constitution. You know, all of these amendments were trying to figure out the best and the most fairest way to run our country. We don't always get it right, and we still haven't gotten right. We still have a long way to go. As our founding fathers said, we actually create that more perfect union. I mean, that's why we have those next 17 amendments coming in slowly over the next couple centuries. It's because we're trying to improve our Constitution and make it more fair and good for all the people who live here.
How does an amendment get added to our Constitution?
Basically, Congress would have to vote on it first. You know, Congress being the House and the Senate, but it doesn't stop there. Then it has to go to each individual state to vote on it. And then 2/3 of the states have to vote yes on it for it to be included in the Constitution. So that's why it's only been done 17 times in the past 200 years, is because it takes a lot of work and organization and convincing people that the change is a good idea. And kind of the founding fathers made that be on purpose. They didn't want to make it too easy to change the Constitution. They wanted it to be a really thoughtful and deliberate process. It can take years, sometimes decades, to pass an amendment. For instance, back in the 1970s, Congress passed the Equal Rights Amendment, which was basically an amendment to the Constitution making sure that women had all of the same rights as men in the workplace and in public life. But it then went to the states, and it's been, you know, over 30 years, and we still don't have enough states that have voted yes on that yet. You remember, you got to get to 2/3 of all of the states. So it's really close, but it still hasn't gone through all of the process it needs to become a constitutional amendment.
But that very well may be our 28th amendment. And as a woman, I certainly hope so. We've been talking with Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico, concluding our series on the Bill of Rights, which we've done over 4 episodes. To find any of these episodes, just head over to childrenshour.org, and we've got them all there for you. Micah McCoy, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Stick with us on the Children's Hour. The Extinction Diaries are coming up next, right after this. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Extinction Diaries. The Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia is 1,500 miles long. Since 2016, over half of the reef has died from agricultural pollution and ocean warming. Coral is an animal, and it gets its color from many diverse algae that attach to holes along their body. When coral is stressed, it ejects the algae and bleaches white, becoming immunocompromised. Then, much of the coral dies. Scientists have begun breeding and growing corals that have already shown powerful resistance to heat and bleaching. Much like a farmer crossing tomatoes, coral is being selectively grown for heat tolerance. Farmed coral is then reattached to existing or artificial reefs. Scientists are now researching low-light corals that survive at colder, deeper depths. Moving corals deeper until ocean temperatures cool again may be an option. Scientists and activists are in agreement that the only sustainable solution is to stop our planet's warming and stop ocean pollution. Humans will likely have to force our own evolutionary leap and win the race against time. Extinction time. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
All the creatures living in the shallow sea, depend on the coral reef eventually, making their home in the photic zone.
What's the photic zone?
An aquatic biome, reproducing over and over again. They got millions of clones, they got millions of friends. Polychaeticals connected to one another like a colony of relatives, sisters and brothers.
Eating that zooplankton with their tentacles in the moonlight. Eating that zooplankton to help them digest the light. Eating that zooplankton with their tentacles in the moonlight. Zooplankton to help them digest the light.
Yo, the coral, they got these creatures inside them, growing in clear water so the sunlight can find them. They help change color and turn sunlight into food. So azalea, awesome, incredible news.
Please don't stress them out with pollution and heat. Coral bleaching kills the colony so they can't eat. It's where a corner of the world seems life can meet. Without the coral reef, the ocean ain't complete.
In that zooplankton with their tentacles in the moonlight.
Sailing soon.
deep beluga in the deep blue sea. Swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below, and a little white whale on the go. Baby beluga, baby beluga, is the water warm? Is your mama home with you so happy? Way down yonder where the dolphins play, where you dive and splash all day. Waves rolling and the waves roll out, see the water squirting out of your spout. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, sing your little song, sing for all your friends, we like to hear you. Snug in your water bed, moon is shining and the stars are out. Good night, little whale, good night. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, with tomorrow's sun, another day's begun. You'll soon be waking. Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below, and a little white whale on the go. You're just a little white whale on the go.
It's the 40th anniversary of Baby Beluga, and that's the updated brand new release by Rafi. Coral Reef was done by the Whiz Pops from a CD called Sea Blue Sea. And the Extinction Diaries come out of KFOI in Redding and Red Bluff, California. Before the break, you heard Children Human Rights from a CD called Happy Learning English. Well, this is the fourth in our series on the Bill of Rights, and it was really fun covering them all. I learned so much, and I hope you did too. You can always find any of our shows at childrenshour.org or wherever you find your podcasts. But one of our listeners named Ken Milder reached out to us. There's a bit of trivia many people don't know. It's that there were originally 11 amendments proposed, but only 10 were ratified to become the Bill of Rights. Whatever happened to that orphaned amendment? What was it? Well, more than 200 years after it was proposed in 1789, that orphaned amendment was finally ratified and brought into the Constitution family as the 27th Amendment. This happened on May 7th, 1992, and the 27th Amendment reads, "No law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened." And what that amendment does is it makes it so that you cannot increase or decrease a salary of members of Congress from taking effect until the start of the next term. That prevents senators and representatives from voting to give themselves a pay increase or to punish the next group of sitting senators and representatives by giving them a pay cut. Many thanks to listener Ken Milder for that information. If there's anything you would like to comment about any of our shows, just send us an email, info@childrenshour.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Washington at Valley Forge, freezing cold, but up spoke George. Crazy words, breezy tune, all that he could croon and spoon. On his ukulele, daily, well, he was strong. Dancing.
Washington at Valley Forge is Dan Zanes and friends right here on the Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is written and produced by Katie Stone at the Sunspot Solar Studio in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with help from all of us on the Kids Crew.
Many thanks to Micah McCoy from the ACLU New Mexico for being on the show with us today.
Also, thank you to the kids from the Extinction Diaries.
Find our playlists and dozens of our podcasts at childrenshour.org.
You could also leave us a voice message at childrenshour.org that we might use in a future radio show.
We post photos, links, and more information on social media. We're at TCH Radio.
The Children's Hour can be heard on more than 60 stations in the United States and Canada.
Hello to our listeners. Tune in on KTWH in Two Harbors, Minnesota.
The Children's Hour is distributed by the Children's Hour Incorporated, as well as the Public Radio Exchange, PRX, and by the Pacifica Radio Network.
We're going to go out with some Wagogo, a band from Albuquerque. Time is not money. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Majakanaka Handisi na chimbi Dino famba jisho Majakanaka Handisi na chimbi Means I like to move real slow Handisi na chimbi I'm in no hurry means Handisi na chimbi Guba yangu haisi mari Handisi na chimbi My time's not money in this life Handisi na chimbi Madio Freedom Handisi na chimbi Madio 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 means freedom Handisi na chimbi Rangundini Handisi na chimbi Woyere Sita Rangundini Handisi na chimbi My name Armando means Handisi na chimbi So don't rush me so please yeah. Handisi na chimbi I'm gonna pick up my guitar and play
I love to gather round and beat our tray with my family. The children should drink clean water. The children should breathe clean air, I pray. The children should live in peace. We need to move a little slower. Madido, madido, yeah, yeah.
You've been listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio, produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a nonprofit based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We had support by the City of Albuquerque. We are one Albuquerque. Support also provided by the Laughing Buddha Fund at the Greater New Orleans Foundation and by the Limestone Fund at the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. Support also provided by the Infinite Gesture Fund at the Albuquerque Community Foundation. Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
We'll be back next time for another edition of
The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
I love The Children's Hour.